Hello, and welcome to Community Conversations. The Community Conversations show is a series of pre-recorded interviews lasting about 30 minutes or so, hosted here on KRFY 88.5 FM on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm Phil Huff, and along with my co-host, Julie Calamine, we are your hosts today. Good morning, Julie.
Hello, Phil.
This is not a replacement for the morning show, but it's an interim because some of us were really missing the morning show, and we know our listeners were too. We're still bringing topics of current interest to our community, as well as ongoing general information, and as always, highlighting those local voices. Because we are using new technology, at least new to us, to record everyone remotely rather than in the studio, you may hear the occasional beeping or gaps or hiccups that are due to slow connections. And bear in mind, too, that sometimes information changes from the time we record these shows to the air date. In this case, we are only recording 5 days ahead, and spring is springing. But do check back for any pertinent new information that might come up during this interview. We're going to do two segments today. We've been doing one now for several weeks that we call Open for Business, and we're going to highlight one of our Open for Businesses, Kathy Osborne from the Co-op. And then we're going to have as our featured guest, Diane Green from Green Tree Naturals. So why don't we start with the Open for Business, and Kathy, tell us a little bit about the co-op and what's open.
Okay, well, thank you, first of all, for having me on the program today. The Co-op Gas and Supply Company is where I work. I manage the marketing department. I handle donations and sponsorships for events. I help manage any events in the store, including annual meetings. I produce the co-op roundup, radio spots, and I'm responsible for all of the print media ads as well.
That's a big job, Kathy. So how long have you been doing this work for the co-op?
23 years this August.
I love that magazine. I love the periodical. I look for it when it comes out.
Yeah, it's a favorite publication, and the work you do on that is fabulous, Kathy. Tell us a little bit about the co-op, how long it's been around, and for those who, let's say, are new to town and might not yet have found it because it's not right on the mainstream highway, tell us why they should come to the co-op.
Ah, okay. Well, the co-op is a propane farm, home, and hardware store. So generally speaking, if you need something on the farm, we generally carry it. We've been in business for 85 years. And included in those needs on the farm would be propane, which is a large part of our business. We have a propane delivery service, and it extends through Bonner and Boundary counties. We have a bulk storage tank up in Bonner's Ferry, and we have one in here in Ponderay. And we can provide delivery of fuels and farm supplies to homes or businesses. So this is really a great place to come if you have a farm or even a hobby farm. And you have a need for anything we have, we can deliver it. It's one of the great things about us.
Very good. Propane, it's sort of the hidden part of the business to me since I don't buy propane, but that's a very large business. I'm interested in the organization of your business. It's a co-op. Tell us about that.
It is. It is a true cooperative. The membership numbers in the hundreds currently, and we get new members every year. Really, anyone can shop at the co-op, and membership is free. But when you open either a credit or cash account and become a member, the co-op can track your purchases and pay dividends on those purchases in profitable years. And we have been very profitable in the last several years. This allows you to attend the annual meeting each spring and learn how the company is progressing. And members have the option to purchase one share of common stock for $25, and that allows the stockholder to not only attend the meeting, but vote on anything that comes before the assembly. So it's a real opportunity for education of the cooperative and really to find out how all cooperatives usually work. So it's really quite a wonderful organization, and because we are doing so well, we have quite an impact in the community too.
So if I come by and fill my propane tank for my barbecue and I pay cash, I can become a member just by saying I'd like to become a member.
Yes, you can. And you can open either a credit or a cash account free. There is no charge for that at all.
It sounds like there's no reason not to do that.
Yeah, there isn't. And, you know, whenever we get a chance to talk about it, we remind people, if you're spending your dollars here, that money that comes back to you as a dividend, that's your money. If you don't become a member, that's money you leave on the table.
Co-ops are so interesting, and they were prevalent in the Midwest where I came from and not quite as popular out here. So it's interesting to have you here as a true co-op and sharing profits with the folks that utilize your business.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, it is.
So,
well, let's move on. Go ahead, Phil.
I was going to say, so the co-op has been open throughout this COVID crisis as one of the essential businesses. Tell us how the last couple months have impacted your business.
Well, largely nothing has changed for us. Our operations have remained the same. Some of our staff who felt their health to be compromised took some time off, but they're back to work already. Some staff and customers are choosing to wear masks, but it's not required. Our hours of operation and fuel delivery schedules have remained unchanged throughout. The front counters have always been cleaned. We have a cleaning process we do a couple times each day, and now that's a little bit more frequent, but it's always been our habit. And we have barriers between the customers and the cashiers now. But apart from that, you won't see much of a difference here if you're a regular customer.
Okay. Have you noticed a change in sales due to COVID, or are you doing just as well as in previous years?
Well, every year we expect the cooperative to grow. That's always our hope. And this year it has done very, very well. I don't know that we can attribute it to COVID necessarily, but I will say this. The commentary has been when people had to start staying home, we strongly suspect that the honey-do list sort of took off and people took that opportunity to come in and get items they would need to do those projects they've been kind of putting off over time, because those the sales that we are realizing increases in are largely propane and hardware. So we kind of think that that might have impacted it a little bit.
Makes sense.
You know, you normally have a tree sale, and I was going to try and find out what happened with that. Was it canceled?
Yes, it was canceled, and that our annual meeting was canceled as well. That was on March 14th. You may recall that was a really bad weather day, so we probably would not have seen much that day. But yeah, our tree sale was due to be held April 24th, and because at that time we were just in the beginnings of the COVID event, and we felt that because it is such close quarters, that would have been a good idea to cancel that. So we did.
So are there anything else, any anecdotes from the last couple months you'd like to share? Anything that's interesting, that's new?
Well, you know, one of the wonderful things about this store is our members and our customers. They've expressed their appreciation for the store remaining open and accessible through this time, and the fuel deliveries have continued uninterrupted. I think they're disappointed that we had to cancel the annual meeting and the tree sale, but we're excited about getting those things off the ground again next year, and the conversation continues. So there's disappointment, but we're looking forward to how we, you know, can maybe do those things better next year. So we're really happy about the way people have been open and forthcoming with their appreciation.
Well, that's a great way to end our Open for Business segment with you, Kathy Osborne. It sounds like the co-op is maintaining business and will be here for us for hopefully another 90 years in the future. And I want to thank you for joining us this morning.
Yes, thank you, Kathy.
Well, I certainly hope we'll be around. Thank you so much for having me today.
And moving on to our featured interview of this morning with Diane Green, of owner and operator of Green Tree Naturals north of Sandpoint. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. For listeners that don't know you, Diane, tell us a little bit about you, your background, and how you and your family came to be here in Sandpoint.
Our farm has been certified organic since 1992, so we're one of the first farms in the region to certify organic. My primary occupation is organic vegetable and seed production, and I pair this with educational opportunities that are centered around sustainable organic practices. I'm a certified organic mentor, farmer mentor, and instructor with University of Idaho Cultivating Success Program, and have developed and taught sustainable agriculture and small farm courses through the university for over 20 years. And I also have taught an organic gardening workshop series here on the farm for also over 20 years, and provide consultations for sustainable living. And we do a fair amount of on-farm research with U of I and WSU graduate and undergraduate students, and are involved in a project with a U of I graduate student this year that's been funded through the Organic Farming Foundation. So we wear a lot of different hats, but all of them are related to sustainable and organic agriculture. And I came to Idaho in 1974 to work for the Forest Service, and worked for them up until I started farming, and my husband and I just celebrated our 32nd wedding anniversary. So we're farmers together. We're all in this together.
Congratulations, Diane, both on the 32 years of marriage and the impact you've had on our local sustainable food production. Your presence looms large with all that you do to make that happen in your education. And Green Tree Naturals is such a wonderful place. Maybe you could describe Green Tree Naturals Farm for those who haven't yet visited.
We have a little over 2 acres in production, maybe 2.5. We grow over 130 different varieties of vegetables. We use a fair amount of season extension techniques like hoop houses and pipe tunnels and row covers and things like that, which are kind of an important part of growing in North Idaho. And we've been busy seeding and planting and doing all the things that we normally do since March. I know that before COVID, we were considered antisocial, and now we're social distancing. So we're more socially acceptable with that transition. But farming is not canceled, and with the spring growing season, pretty much we have the same routine every year of seeding and planting in the fields and in the greenhouse. And it all starts with the seed.
It's very labor intensive to be a sustainable organic food producer. Tell us a little bit about your annual cycle.
Well, number one, any garden or small acreage farm, if you're growing food or you're gardening, it's a labor of love, because it's much more than just throwing a seed in the ground, and it all starts with the seed. Managing a successful garden or small acreage farm takes a lot of planning, and we begin with our planning in December with seed inventory. Then we review our production notes from the previous year, and I'm taking notes all the time. I keep a little notepad with me, and as I'm weeding or working in the garden, where I can work out all the problems of the world. I mean, if you're needing to get grounded, the garden's the place to go. But we'll review the notes from the previous year, and then we make field and garden maps to figure out how much of what variety of vegetables we're going to be growing. And then there's developing the seeding schedule for the greenhouse, and keeping up with seeding and planting in the greenhouse and transplanting in the fields. And then there's mulching and weeding and watering. And then we make our way into the harvest season, which means determining what and when to harvest, and post-harvest handling and food distribution to our CSAs and our farm stand, and We sell to Winter Ridge and DeLuna's are our only outlets in town. But it's a full-time job. We don't ever get bored. I can tell you that much.
It is such an important part of the supply chain right now. And with COVID, there's an increasing attention on the fragility of the major producers and a focus really on developing further local resources like this. And yet it's something you've always been doing. Tell us, do you see shifts occurring now? Do you foresee shifts coming up?
I think more people certainly are, by the signs of, for example, when we went to reorder some seeds this year, I was surprised to see posts coming up, Johnny's and High Mowing Seeds, which are the two sources that we use for our certified organic seed, saying they were not selling to private people anymore. They were only selling to commercial growers. And I can see that, all the seed companies, and we also grow and sell seed to a seed company in Southern Idaho, and they immediately contacted us and said, would you grow more seed? Would you expand the varieties that you're growing? So there is a need there. And I think the seed production is a big part of that, making sure that we have enough of that. And certainly I love the fact that more people are growing gardens and wish they would always do that. I've always believed that lawns, while they're pretty, are not a really useful thing to have when you could be growing vegetables in your yards and feeding yourself or supplementing yourself with some fresh, nutritious food. And when it comes to staying healthy, farm fresh or garden fresh is the best thing you can do to keep yourself strong and healthy and fend off any diseases or colds or flus or COVID that comes about. It keeps you strong and healthy working out in the garden and eating fresh food. And so I don't know if that answered your question, but.
Yeah, it did. And that's so true. You get the benefit of the food and the benefit of all the sunshine and fresh air and exercise working in the garden. Diane, the type of food production that you do, organic, relatively small scale, it's also a small part of overall food production in the country, but it is expanding. And I'm curious for you to tell us why it is so important to you.
Well, there was a time in this country when more people were growing their own gardens. So there was a time where everybody grew their gardens. I think of the history of my husband's family, for example, who came from Poland just three generations ago. One of their most precious items that they traveled with was their seed from home. And there was a time where everyone saved their seed and were growing their gardens and took some responsibility for feeding themselves. And I think we've certainly gotten a certain disconnect and gotten way too dependent on expecting that things are always going to be the way they are. And I think it's making people really rethink how they live and what their lifestyle is. And the home garden movement has certainly returned with COVID. Personally, I like knowing where my food comes from. And the fact that more people are planting garden this year is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I think it's gardening is one way of grounding a person in something positive during a time when there is too much negative happening out there. Our new motto is wash your hands and then go get them dirty.
I love that. And I have a number of friends from around the country I keep in touch with who are starting to grow gardens for the first time in the light of what they might be calling a COVID victory garden.
Right.
And I know when I first moved here to North Idaho 18 years ago, from an area where I couldn't have a garden, from a townhome to one where we can. And one of the first things that I did on the advice of some friends was to enroll in one of your series of classes. And it was It was very interesting and knowledgeable and inspiring, and you've done that for so many people. Tell us your role as really not just an educator, but an inspiration for the community.
Well, I can't say that I set out to be inspiring, but inspiring others to grow food is certainly a good thing. I developed this comprehensive organic gardening workshop series that you were talking about for our on-farm internship program that we started in 1998. And after we started that, and it was the point of it was just to really have a focused educational component to go with our internship program. And then community members start asking, they heard that I was doing that, and they were asking if I would open that up. So I did, and have continued doing that since 1998. This is actually the first year that our on-farm workshops are canceled, but I may open those up again. I still have them on schedule, and I scheduled the workshops so that they parallel with what's actually happening in the garden, so you can actually, we can talk about it and then go out there and have a closer look. So I'll have to see how that will be and how that works through that. But the workshops began with seeding and planting the garden and fertilizing organically, and they move into natural pest control, weed management, seed saving, and harvesting the bounty. And then we also have a garlic breeding workshop typically. But for now, it's on pause. But gardening is the one thing that has never been canceled. So that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. So classes may not resume immediately, but you'll be out in your garden. And how will the consumers of your produce find you? Or is your CSA continuing on? Tell us about the produce, where that's going to go, and how you're going to get it distributed this year.
It's pretty much, we've had more interest in our CSAs, but we've kind of top that out. We're not accepting any new members to our CSA. I sold at the farmers market for 28 years and officially retired from the farmers market a year ago to open up a farm stand here on the farm, which we've had the farm stand on and off for years, but now the farm stand is our main place where we sell our produce and make it available. And I think and we only do it one day a week on Thursdays, and we don't open until July, so we wait until we have a good variety of produce available. And part of that is we are seniors. I'm 68 and my husband's 72, and we'll keep farming until we can't do it anymore, but we have slowed down, and with that I'm happy to not be packing things up and taking them into market and unloading and setting up and tearing down and loading up and coming back home again. So now it's just our farm stand on Thursdays, and it's only open for like 2.5 hours. So it's I think what will change this year will be I do a fair amount of pre-orders where I send out a fresh from the farm sheet via email and let people know what we have available, and they pre-order, and I have bags of whatever they pre-ordered ready for them to pick up at the farm stand. And we've always done that, so we'll probably do more of that. And I suspect just to keep with social distancing until we know what is truly safe, because I think as we have more tourists coming in, the possibilities of more exposure to COVID may happen. And we are, being seniors, in a little bit more vulnerable than some, I suppose, although we are in good health. But we may set up our farm stand so that only allow one person in at a time to shop or encourage more pre-ordering, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Diane, for those listeners who haven't been to your farm, why don't you let us know where it is?
I'm a little bit hesitant because I don't want everywhere. As it is, we have people, we actually have people coming from hundreds of miles away.
Fair enough.
We're northeast of Sandpoint on Rapid Lightning. How's that?
All right.
So if you know,
you can find Green Tree Naturals online, and we'll go from there. But you know, I'm not encouraging. We already have a parking problem.
So it sounds like business is good, and that's a nice segue into. You've talked a little bit about some of the changes that COVID has created to your classes, and perhaps customers' expectations and other conditions changing your business model. Some. What else do you see changing and shifting right now? To your operation or food production in general, or how it impacts our local market economy?
Well, for one of the biggest changes I notice is not being able to hug my customers, because we have a big commercial greenhouse, and I do custom growing for folks, and when everybody's been coming and picking up their plants, and I'm used to greeting everybody with a hug, and I really miss that. I probably yearn for that more than anything. So everybody comes around and you kind of open your arms and reach out and don't touch someone, and I miss that. But I'm not sure how. I know the farmers market is opening this weekend, and it'll be really interesting to see. I've been kind of keeping tabs on that because I was involved for 28 years, and I do care about what's happening there. And I know that we have such a tremendous wealth of food producers in Bonner and Boundary County and adjacent counties to Sandpoint. We have wonderful market gardeners and small acreage farmers that have been involved with the farmers market all these years that produce good organic sustainable food. Not a lot of them are certified organic, but they produce good food, and I know that they are working to figure out ways to deliver that food to the community. And I know this is happening everywhere with farmers markets, and that's the one thing that you can count on is those small acreage farms are really the core of a local community food system. And it's so important. I mean, I have a sticker on the back of my computer on my laptop that says, know your farmer, know your food. I have that same sticker on the back of my van. And I think maybe people will be thinking about that a little bit more and thinking about having a closer connection to their farmers. I know for the meat situation that's happening, I mean, we don't raise beef or pork, but we have supported local ranchers who grow our beef for us every year, and we buy a quarter beef and we buy a half a pig, and we do intermittently raise our own chickens and we for meat, and we have our own chickens for eggs, and that's a part of being more sustainable, and we prefer having we're meat eaters, so we like eating meat that's been humanely raised. I feel better about it.
Yes, absolutely. Diane, you've been at this since forever, and you're pretty familiar with techniques and know what you're doing, but there are many people out there who are just sort of beginning to try something new, maybe just a little toe in the water. Would you have advice for maybe a beginning gardener or even a beginning chicken farmer, something like that? What's a good way for a beginner to get going?
Well, I think it's important to know that you don't have to try and grow everything. I have done more consultations this year than I ever have, and that's a lot of going to people's property and helping them figure out where to put a garden, what the steps are, and what they need to do, because it just becomes overwhelming sometimes for people. But I think it's important to really do some planning and sit down with some grid paper and figure out just how much space you have and how much you can put in there. I think oftentimes people are just trying to put too much into a small space, and sometimes growing less, you can get higher yields. So really thinking about that, and truly, hey, growing a garden is a considerable investment in time and infrastructure and money, and you really have to think about that. And it's, gardening's an act of resilience, and the tools for cultivating hope are right in our own backyards. And planting a garden is a powerful act, and it gives each of us access, each of us with access to a little dirt, the power to feed ourselves healthy food. And gardening is really about regenerating yourself amidst all this noise about COVID. And there's nothing more value than the time spent outside, hands in the soil, caring for the plants that will eventually provide comfort and nourishment. And I think growing allows us time to reflect and time to remember that the earth is full of growth and beauty, even in these difficult times. And you, no matter what the outcomes are of your garden, the fact that you're out there digging around in the dirt is a pretty important thing. And in knowing that you don't have to grow everything, you have an opportunity to reach across to your neighbors and talk with them about what they're growing. Have relationships with farmers at the farmers market and the local farms. I mean, you go on Facebook and there's all kinds of local small farm sites and opportunities to connect with people who are growing and local gardeners and local farmers, and have opportunities to exchange, you know. So maybe I'm growing more potatoes and you're growing something that I'm not growing. We can do a fair trade for that. But the planning part is important, and I think right now so many people have put things out way too early, and it's easy to get excited and overzealous with getting things in the ground. But and just plant the garden and see what comes. It'll be good to eat anything that you've grown.
You've brought two threads of thought together really nicely. You can't grow everything because space is limited for most people, and not everything grows real well here. And I know you've experimented a lot over the years and developed a special strain of garlic, if I remember right, Rapid Lightning Roja. And that took a long time to figure out what would grow best, wouldn't it?
Well, garlic grows pretty well in this part of the country anyways, but we have managed to, as seed savers, we have managed to come up with tomatoes that will ripen here. We have a one pounder tomato that's just heavenly. And that's another thing, looking at seed saving and different things like that. But just know that there are plenty of market growers and small acreage farmers who sell direct from their farms and farm stand like we do, or at the farmers market, that can supplement whatever you are not growing.
That's good to hear. So what I'm hearing you saying is that give it a try if you're a new gardener. Try some new things. Don't try to grow everything, and know that the local sustainable garden community that comes to the farmers market and is all around our county is there for people. And they will be there. They're there every year and they're still there. And we should continue to look to them and utilize them.
Absolutely. We're all in this together.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it. Diane, are there resources online or somewhere else that listeners might refer to if they want to know more about getting going on some local, some sustainable organic gardening in their own home?
Well, I've had a lot of people asking me about books, and I know that Rodale, who is the person who started the organic gardening movement nationally in the United States, has a basic organic gardening, it's a beginner's guide to starting a healthy garden. I think that's a really good overall resource. Green Tree Naturals, I mean, our website, we have a hodgepodge of different things. And if you follow us on Facebook, I'm always, during the growing season, I always post a lot of different tips and different things for that. But I know with some of the Facebook garden sites that are local, there's a lot of people post questions and there's a lot of people out there taking the time to provide perspectives and answers for a lot of those things. So that's a good one. I use... Yep.
Oh, I was going to say that the Bonner County Gardeners Association site with the forum often posts questions and answers if a person gets on that. And I've noticed your answers a number of times, Diane.
I spend a little bit of the evening when I'm unwinding on that. And the University of Idaho Extension is an excellent resource. And they have their Master Gardener group that are also there to offer answers and perspectives. And and the thing, you know, gardening's one of those things is you'll talk to one gardener and they say, oh, well, you will never be able to do that. And then you talk to another one that says, well, I've been doing that for 30 years. So it really has to do with what your microclimate is and where your location is. Another site I wanted to mention was one that we use often is SARE, which stands for Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education. They have a wide variety of publications there that cover all kinds of topics to small acreage farming, but they also parallel with home gardening as well.
Very good. And I think the library has a seed saving section, although they're closed right now and no knowing when they'll reopen. Do they... I assume they do vegetables as well as decorative plants. Do you know?
I don't. I've contributed to the seed library a couple times with some of the seed that we grow, but we can't get that seed back because all the seed that we use has to be certified organic since we're a certified organic farm. So I can't really answer that. But I think seed saving is really... an important one. And if I don't do any other workshops, that's one that I really would like to try to do because I'd like to see more people saving seed.
Well, before we wrap things up, Diane, are there any things we haven't asked you, anything you'd like to share, thoughts about how when we come back to whatever normal looks like at whatever time that is, what we will take with us from this time, what we will have learned?
I think more than anything, for most everyone, we have a perspective that we've been taking our food system for granted. And I think it's really important that we don't do that anymore. I mean, I do a fair amount of work with the university, several universities, and do in that work, they've been talking across the country about the need for expanding and developing local food systems, and we need to do that. I mean, Granted, we can't grow coffee. We're probably not going to be growing our own wheat and grinding wheat to make bread. We can't grow avocados and citrus, and there's a lot of things that we're limited to growing. But we need to look at what we can do, to make a difference. And growing a garden or supporting those that are growing gardens and those local small acreage farmers, that's a good place to start. So support your local farmers whenever you can. Wash your hands and then go get them dirty.
I like that. That's a nice way to take us out.
It is. Diane Green, owner of Green Tree Naturals, I want to thank you for joining us here on Community Conversations, which is the temporary substitute for the KRFY Morning Show. And for listeners who've been wondering who this is and who's talking, I've already mentioned it's Diane Green of Green Tree Naturals, but this is KRFY listener-supported community radio for the Idaho Panhandle. And you are hearing our community conversations. We mentioned it at the beginning that it's a pre-recorded interview, recorded several days before Tuesday morning. However, it will, in most cases, still be relevant. However, if the information is something you need to check on in terms of its relevance, please be sure to check again to make sure that it's still current. With that said, thank you for joining us for this Community Conversations, and we will speak again soon.